There's only one story this morning, at least in terms of the top stories, and that is, of course, PG&E's intention to file for bankruptcy as of the end of this month. Lots of questions about this, of course, and at this point, let's go to Mark Toney. Mark is with the Utility Reform Network. We know it as TURN. Mark, I'm glad you could be with us this morning.
Thank you very much, Pat. Happy to be on.
And your first initial reaction to PG&E's intention to file?
You know, this is not the time for people to panic. While PG&E may be giving a notice of bankruptcy, a lot can happen in the 15 days before they are able to actually file for bankruptcy.
Like what?
There could, you know, bankruptcy is a financial reorganization. So they could, there could be actions they could take to get them more financing. There could be significant changes on their board that restore, and leadership that restores confidence in the company. A lot of things could happen. So right now, what's important to understand is that they filed notice for intention for bankruptcy,
right,
but they haven't actually filed bankruptcy itself. That won't come at the earliest for 15 days.
15 days, because that's what they've got to do in order to inform their employees, correct?
That is right. That was one of the provisions of SB 901 that was adopted last year, is that they must give 15-day notice to the employees.
Is it possible to come up with $30 billion in 15 days, Mark?
PG&E doesn't owe $30 billion. Those are potential liabilities,
right,
that are unknown right now. Those,
right,
are estimates. That's not what's causing PG&E's crisis. It's the fact that it's junk bond status because it got caught lying about falsifying the pipeline inspection records for the last 4 years.
And we should say that, of course, we got a statement from PG&E this morning, which, among other things, and this is, you know, I think our go-to position is, are the lights going to go out? What's the deal? And PG&E says this morning it does not expect any impact to electrical or natural gas service for its customers as a result of this Chapter 11 process. So that's one thing I want to get, you know, out there straight off the bat. It couldn't have been a surprise to you, could it?
The management of PG&E has been so incompetent over the last several years that, no, this is not a surprise. My concern is that all the attention to bankruptcy is going to divert the attention we need to have on accountability for PG&E to do the proper tree trimming, to upgrade their equipment, to insulate their wires, to do things that are going to stop wildfires. I'm concerned that the bankruptcy news pushes the wildfire news out, and I don't want to let PG&E get away with anything.
State Senator Bill Dodd shares your sentiment on this, Mark, and he came out with a statement this morning that above all, PG&E must be held to safety mandates. And you're right, it gets clouded by a number of other issues, but that, as we well know in Santa Rosa, is primary in terms of what's most important to us.
Yes, the challenge that PG&E has is that most of their board members they're all finance or legal or compliance people. They don't have experts in electricity operation, experts in gas operations, engineers who are safety experts, wildfire prevention experts. Those are the type of people they need on their board right now. And until those people are on the board and we get rid of these finance people, I don't think a whole lot's going to change with PG&E.
So John Simon was announced the interim CEO of PG&E after the CEO stepped down yesterday. But are you saying that it would require a complete clearing of the decks in terms of management and also the board of directors for PG&E?
You know, putting a lawyer at top is not what the public interest warrants at this time. It sends a message of somebody who's there to protect the company and not the public. We need a wholesale change in leadership. We're in a situation right now that no amount of money is enough to save PG&E. No amount of money is enough to give PG&E in order to get safety, because they have shown themselves to be incompetent, and this board of directors has to be held accountable. That's where the buck stops in any corporation.
And if they do go ahead and file for bankruptcy, probably on or about January 29th, according to multiple sources this morning, then what happens after that? And will the consumers feel any effect after that point?
It really is up to the bankruptcy judge. The danger here is that when bankruptcy is filed, creditors become the top priority, paying off creditors, and ratepayers end up getting hosed. So bankruptcy is always a bad option. But you want to know something? Bailing out PG&E every year for more fires, that's even a worse option.
Well, so, I agree with you, Mark. And if we just go back to 2008, when there was a bank bailout in this country, and there was so much uproar about that after all the bad loans that had been processed, et cetera, that really caused the mini recession we had then. And had the administration at that time gone back and said, we're going to bail out those banks again or again, imagine the uproar that would have incited.
Absolutely, and unfortunately, that's the situation staring us in the face right now, with PG&E demanding that they get bailed out for the 2018 campfire on the heels of the devastation in Northern California in 2017, in Sonoma County, Napa County, and places thereabouts.
Oh yeah, we know all about that. Mm. And one of the things, and again, we're talking about so many issues that surround PG&E at this stage of the game, and it's difficult to try to prioritize all of them. But of course, many of the people who are involved with litigation with PG&E, even at the initial stages, are thinking this is just a big blanket for PG&E to crawl underneath in order to keep from being liable for all of that.
That it is a big concern that in bankruptcy that the victims of wildfire are also in danger of being shorted.
Because they're at the bottom of the list when it comes to creditors, aren't they?
Exactly. They're at the bottom of the list of creditors. So when the money runs out, when they're doling out the money, guess who doesn't get paid?
Yeah.
And so this is a huge concern. This is why bankruptcy is a very concerning option. But because PG&E does not know how much its true liability is, because so much of that is in the future,
yeah, it's unknown.
It's going to make it very hard for a bankruptcy judge to look at this and say, "Here's the here's how we're going to divvy out the proceeds, if you will."
Yeah. So many questions unanswered, but Mark, I appreciate so much you jumping in with us this morning once the news broke, and we'll be talking again soon. There's no question about it.
Thank you very much, Pat.
All right, that is Mark Toney with the Utility Reform Network. Most of us know it as TURN. And there are a lot of questions, and we will be covering the story from every angle conceivable moving forward to make sure that we get as many of your questions answered as is possible.